Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimesinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is Pastor John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and today we'll be looking at Luke chapter 12, 1 to 12. And grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. And before we get into the passage, let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears that we may behold wonderful things out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's have a look at the passage today. And he continues having a dig at the Pharisees and their hypocrisy and the nature of true and false religion. Luke 12, verses 1 to 12. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after have nothing more that they can do. But I'll warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and rulers and authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." So, this whole thing is about the fear of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were obviously trying to kill Jesus and his disciples by this point. And they were terrifying. They were very powerful people. They were rich people. They were established at the top of society. And it didn't look very good for the followers of Jesus. And so, the thing that Jesus says to start off is, when it's a whole crowd, he's popular, he looks like he's the top of the world, he turns to his disciples and he says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Now, what's hypocrisy? The hypocrisy comes from the word hypokrites. Hupo, under, krites, the mask. And it meant that this was acting, this was performing, this was being one thing on the inside and another on the outside. So now they were becoming popular. There's a temptation to become an actor, one thing on the inside and another on the outside, to have a popular exterior and a completely rotten interior. And that's the leaven of the Pharisees. Why is it leaven? Because it corrupts everything. Once ministry becomes a performance, once it becomes acting, once it becomes stagecraft, then it becomes hypocrisy. And we find that many of these popular preachers who have great stagecraft, great personality, what great presentation, who can draw a crowd, underneath, they're rotten. They're financially rotten, or they're having affairs, or they're doing this, or they're doing that, or their character is mean and exploitative, and they don't pay people, and they just expect everyone to volunteer because they are so important, and they have put themselves up on a pedestal. So we're not to do that. We're not to be actors. We're not to be hypocrites. We're not to be performers. We're not to be people who love the stage and love the applause and love the big crowds. We are not to be like that. We're to be sincere. We're to be real. We're to be ourselves. We're to be the person that God made us to be. And the inside and the outside should be consistent. So if you're kind on the inside, you should be kind on the outside. If you're kind on the outside, you should be kind on the inside. It should all be together. You should be an integrated person, a self-aware person, not an actor, not a popular person, not a poser, not someone who is always after an image. If you're concerned about your own image, you need to repent. You need to not be concerned about your image. That's how people perceive you. You need to be concerned about your character, which is your true personality that's going to be judged by God. And if you're vain and egotistical, if that's your character, then God's not going to be impressed with that. No, you don't need image. You don't need vanity. You don't need to be egotistical. You don't need to be a performer. You just need to be the person that God's called you to be. And if you get into this image thing, it will corrupt others. They'll say, oh, so-and-so's into image and he's into performance, so I'll do the same thing. I'll be into image and I'll be into performance. And suddenly everyone, instead of being real men and women of God, become fakes. They become performers. They want louder speakers, bigger stages, brighter lights to satisfy their egos. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. They were always wanted to be in the religious spotlight. They had no sense of being a servant to the people who were around them. Now, why is it dangerous to be a hypocrite? Well, let's look at the next few verses. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. If you're a hypocrite, if your real personality is loathsome, disgusting, corrupt, and perverse, that's going to be revealed. God will bring it out into the open. And we see with social media and other things that people's character is quickly revealed. And some of these pastors that exploit their churches, exploit the people, expect to be carried into church on a sort of a thing where like they're a prince or something like that. Those kind of people, their character will be revealed and they will be despised among men and or despised before the angels in heaven. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And eventually all the corrupt things that go on in the human heart will be revealed. It goes on to say, therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, especially on judgment day. And what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. And we see that with some people and some politicians. They've made these deals. They've been corrupt. And suddenly it's in the newspapers. Suddenly it's on TV that they've done this or done that. One day God will show these people to be what they really are. And God will destroy their face and destroy their reputation and show them up for their wickedness and their character. You cannot go around worshipping your own image and putting it out before other people while privately being a terrible human being and get away with it. God will reveal it. God is King of Kings. God is Lord of Lords. And he doesn't care about how you look. He cares about who you are and how you're helping other people. And if you don't do that, God will shame you. And that would be a terrible thing to happen to you. Then it's talking about, remember, we're talking about the fear of the Pharisees. He's saying, these Pharisees, they're going to be dealt with on judgment day. They've resisted me. They've done this. They've done that. They're fakes. Don't hang out with the fakes. Let's go to the next section. And then he's going to say, don't be afraid of the Pharisees. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him, and that's Jesus Christ. He's going to be, all judgment is committed to him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. So he's telling this to his disciples. He's saying, look, these people might be rich and important. They've killed the apostles. They've killed the prophets. We saw that in the previous broadcast. They build the tombs of the prophets. They hate God and they hate you. But don't be afraid of them. All they can do is kill your body. But be afraid of me and my commandments, because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to sit on his glorious throne. He's going to judge the nations. He's going to judge people. And he has the ability to cast people into hell. Jesus is God. God can judge those who've opposed God and those who opposed the apostles and the prophets. Upon them will come the blood and the guilt of the entire generation. We just saw that at the end of chapter 11. So these people that were persecuting the disciples of Jesus, the prophets, the apostles, the people of God, these people were going to be cast into hell. They were going to be slain by God, because God has the authority to kill and to cast into hell. So the scribes, the lawyers, the Pharisees, all those people who had opposed God were going to have a terrible, terrible judgment. And we see part of that judgment in AD 66 and 70 when the Romans arrived. So we know that God will deal with those who shed the blood of the innocent. And that's what happens with these people who hated Jesus, crucified Jesus, stoned the Philip to death, Stephen to death, beheaded James, and so on and so forth. So we find that most of the early apostles were killed. I think only John died a natural death, and all the rest were martyred in some way. And so if you're following Jesus, don't be afraid of those who will persecute you, throw you into jail or kill you. Rather be afraid of God and of being disobedient to God. And walk holy before the Lord, because the Lord's going to rescue you and God's concerned about you. You're of more value than many sparrows, and even the hairs on your head are numbered. So this is hair one, and this is a hair 153, and that hair over there is hair 180,000 or whatever. I'm rapidly losing my hair, unfortunately. I'm 66 now. So God says, oh, look, there's that hair, 173. That one's gone now. And so on. God knows that the hairs of our head are numbered. Everything about us is counted, measured, and written in the books of God. And that's part of the function of the angels, is to observe us and to observe every detail. When the sparrows fall to the ground, the angels notice that. God notices that. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. God does not forget his creation. He remembers ants, he remembers sparrows. He remembers you and I. He remembers the disciples and the prophets and the apostles. All of creation is put into the book of God because God loves all that he has made, and God loves you, and God cares about your circumstances. So don't be afraid to cry out to God in the midst of your strife and struggles in life, because God truly cares for you, and his eye is on the sparrow. That's an old, old hymn. If you get to YouTube sometime, I won't sing it for you because I really can't sing at all, but get to your YouTube and look, his eye is on the sparrow. It's a wonderful song. And he watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and he watches over me, and he watches over you. And then it says, and I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. This is going back to the topic of fear. We can be afraid of other people. Oh, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm not this. I'm sorry. And, you know, just imagine that a Muslim group captures you, and they're radical Muslims, and they say, are you a Christian? Are you going to convert to Islam, or we'll chop your head off? And that's happening today, particularly in northern Nigeria and other places around the world. They're going to chop your head off. Unless you deny Jesus. But let them do that. They can only kill the body. They cannot kill your soul. And if the worst comes to the worst, don't be afraid. You're of more value than many sparrows. And if you acknowledge Jesus before them, if you say, I am a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, if you want to chop off my head, go and do it, because I'll be going straight to heaven. So anyone who acknowledges me before men or before women, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. So you'll go to heaven and you'll have great glory. The Lord will reach down for you as your soul is departing your body, as your head falls to the ground. The angels will say, here lies a martyr of God. You'll go to heaven, you'll get a white robe, you'll join the rank of the martyrs, you'll get the crown of life that goes to those who have endured to the point of death. You'll be honored in the heavenly realms, and God will take your soul before heaven and say, here is a righteous man, here is a righteous woman. I acknowledge them before the whole of heaven, and God will acknowledge you as one of his glorious martyrs. And if you want to know about martyrdom, look in the book of Revelation. There's so many martyrs there. And we know that in the end times, there'll be a lot of martyrdom happen under the Antichrist. Many will go to heaven and join the rank of the martyrs because they resisted the beast and did not take his number or the mark of his name. and they will be beheaded by the Antichrist, and they will go to heaven. And a certain number of martyrs, it says in Revelation, have to be filled up. And once that last martyr has their head chopped off, when the last martyr goes to heaven, then the bowl judgments come down upon the earth. And we know that God is with us, even through the trials and tribulations of this life, even through the suffering of ministry. God knows all of that. Our tears are in his bottle. Our wanderings are in his book. He knows all the things that has come against you in your life. And if you are martyred, if the worst comes to the worst, you will stand in glory before God in heaven. So you're not to be afraid of the Pharisees and the scribes. You're not to be afraid of angry religious people. You're not to be afraid of the Antichrist, the beast, or the false prophet. You're not to be afraid of the people of this world. Rather, you're to stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, for it shall not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead. So you're going to be part of the army of God, and you must be strong, you must be courageous. Do not fear him who can kill the body. Rather, stand up and testify to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think the days are long. I'm not a prophet. I have no idea when the rapture is going to happen, or Jesus is going to return, or the final end time judgments. They are beyond my understanding. I'm just a Bible teacher. But I tell you that the days are getting dark. It is obvious that things are happening, that Israel has returned, that technology has become overwhelming, that our privacy has been taken away from us. And they will know every Christian on earth, and they will go after them. But when you are hauled before men, do not worry. We'll get to that soon. Then it goes on to sin against the Holy Spirit. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. What's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? This is what was being done by the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers and the people they were afraid of. These people resisted God. These people said that Jesus was a demon. They said that everything Jesus did was demonic, and that he was doing it by the power of Satan, by the power of Beelzebul. So what's the sin against the Holy Spirit? The sin is saying that God is evil, that the Holy Spirit is evil, that the miracles are evil, and that Jesus is evil. In other words, the sin against the Holy Spirit is calling white black and black white. It's defending the religious establishment against the work of the Holy Ghost, which was being unleashed in that time and in that age. The sin against the Holy Spirit is denying Christ flat to his face and saying, no, I prefer this religious system. I prefer my own way. I don't want to fight. And that's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It cannot be forgiven. Why cannot it be forgiven? Because it indicates a heart that is perfectly hard, a heart that has become so opposed to anything good that it's become dark, it's become selfish, it's become vicious, and it wants to kill the Lord Jesus Christ and those who come after it. And we will find in the last days this will happen again, that people will think that killing Christians is a good thing. They will hate God, they will hate their parents, they will hate Christians, they will hate the proclamation of the gospel, and the very sound of the gospel will drive them into a wild frenzy. And these people cannot be forgiven. These people who truly hate God, who truly hate everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, they cannot be forgiven. It's a marvel that Saul was rescued and became Paul the Apostle. He must have come very close to committing the sin against the Holy Spirit, and yet he did not quite do that, and he was able to be saved. But if he'd gone any further, I think he would have. He would have committed the sin against the Holy Spirit, and it would have all hardened his heart, and he would never, ever have found salvation. So these people that persecute the church, these people that hate God and hate Jesus and hate miracles, they are in very great spiritual danger. So we are to avoid that danger. We are to walk away from such hard-hearted people. We are not to listen to them. We are not to conform to their will. Remember, God's going to deal with them on Judgment Day. And then we get down, and when they bring you before the synagogues and rulers and authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Now, Jesus constantly tells us, do not be anxious, do not be anxious, do not be anxious. Now, that is very strong words, because we, as human beings, tend to get anxious. That's our nature. We tend to be very anxious about our lives and what we'll eat, what we'll drink, what we'll put on. We get involved with the everyday. We get stressed out. And today I'll be flying on a trip from Virginia to Los Angeles, and so I tend to be anxious. Oh, have I got everything packed? Have we got the parking right? Have we got the plane tickets right? Are we doing this or that? And we get overwhelmed by the details of life. And Jesus says, stop doing that. Stop fretting. Stop being anxious. Stop being wound up over all this stuff. And don't even worry when they drag you before the courts. Now, that's very difficult, but that's what Jesus tells us. He tells us, be at peace. God's got you. I care about the hairs on your head. I care about you when you fall to the ground as a martyr. I care about all the things that are going to happen to you in your life. You can't see that. You don't know that, but just trust Jesus. And we need to learn to just trust Jesus, that he's got the story of our life and the course of our life. Now, what happens? Why do we get anxiety? What happens is we have a story of our life that we've written in our own head. It's nothing like God's story. It says, oh, we should be this, we should be rich, we should be famous, we should have this, we should have that many children and this kind of a house. And when that story doesn't happen, when the story that we've wanted for our life is in one direction and God's story for us is in the other direction, we get anxious. We say, oh, my life plan, the hopes and dreams that I had, they've all been dashed to the ground. And we could think of Stephen the martyr. He was having a great time. He was in the midst of a revival. And he's dragged before the authorities. He's a young man. He's one of the original deacons. He's full of energy and verb. He's at the top of his life. He should be married. He should have children. He should be a famous preacher and teacher. He should get to the top of his ministry. But suddenly, that's all interrupted. And he's dragged before the Sanhedrin. He's dragged before angry people. And what happens? The Holy Spirit gives him Acts chapter 7, and he recounts the stubbornness of Israel, the stiff-necked nature of Israel. He tells this long story that proves that the rulers of Israel had, from A to Z, resisted God. He's called, you are stiff-necked, and you always resist the Holy Spirit. And this was the words that God wanted him to say. They weren't tactful words, but they were the words of the martyr Stephen. They're the words that God gave him at that point and that time. And he spoke those words, and they got written down in the Bible. They're still there, 2,000 years later, the speech of Stephen, which was the words of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit gave Stephen, and his face was shining like that of an angel, because the power and the glory of God was in Stephen. And he was speaking to these stiff-necked people who were determined to kill him anyway. Well, the outcome was assured. They couldn't stand all the miracles that he was doing. They wanted to resist the Spirit of God to the most. He knew that nothing he could say would alter his fate. They were going to kill him no matter what, unless he bowed down before them and denied the Lord Jesus Christ, which, of course, he was not going to do. So Stephen the martyr was not afraid of those who could kill the body. He said, okay, if they're going to kill me, they're going to kill me. And he was so full of the Holy Ghost that when he was being stoned to death, he said, you know, Father, forgive them and do not hold their sins against them. So full of the Holy Ghost. And they were stoning him to death, and Saul was watching and consenting. And I believe that when Saul saw that, he said, this is something different. It began to prick his mind and his conscience, so that later on Jesus would say, it was hard for you to kick against the goads. In other words, the death of Stephen started things ticking for Saul, who later became Paul the apostle. Why? Because God gave those words. God gave those words to Stephen so that in the end, Saul would be convicted, become Paul, and write a big chunk of the New Testament. You never know what your words and your testimony is going to do. So be courageous And if you're persecuted in some way by your employer, by your school, by this or by that, do not worry about what you're going to say. Just go and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that I am going to receive words from you for this occasion, and I will speak what you have for me to say. And God will give you the words for that. And God, through the Holy Spirit, can put words in your mouth and ideas in your head and thoughts in your mind that you will express, and you will be a spokesman for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read about the early martyrs who were early part of the church, is a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can go and look at that. And what they said as they died breaks hearts even today. They were full of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their words were full of what God had given them to say in their last moments as they were being thrown to lions or to wolves or gored by various wild animals. If you look at the testimony of Perpetua and her friends as they were thrown to the bulls, I think, in Carthage, these things break hearts even to this day. And they say, here are saints, here are true men and women of God, and they will be honored in heaven. They will be honored before their Father in heaven, and they will receive the crown of life. They will receive the linen robe. They will be awarded a very high place in heaven. And of course, the Holy Spirit can give you words right now. He can give me words as I speak in this broadcast. He can give you words as you speak in difficult conversations with your families, your friends, or your relatives. Do not worry about what you have to say when you're going to get up and share about Jesus. Just share about how Jesus has saved you, what your life was before you met Jesus, how you met Jesus, and what your life is afterwards. I'll go through that again. Just share what your life was like before you met Jesus, then how you met Jesus and why you believed, and now what your life is like after you have met Jesus as your Lord and Savior. For instance, I was an atheist before I met Jesus, and then I tried to disprove the existence of Jesus mathematically. God met me that very afternoon as the light. I believed. He spoke to me for about 20 minutes, and at the end of it all, he said, you know, if you don't believe now, I'll leave you alone forever. I had no idea what that meant, but I decided it would be a good idea to believe. And I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believed in God. I believed there was one creator God. And I went home from that rejoicing, and I tore up all my calculations. And since then, I've been serving God in the ministry for over 40 years. And so you have a life, you have a testimony. Stand up and testify before the Lord Jesus Christ. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.